Thanks for joining us for today's message. We hope that it fills you with hope and encouragement and draws you closer to Jesus. But don't stop there. Download our app today and stay connected throughout the week. And finally, if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Now enjoy today's message.
Today, we conclude our message series called The Greatest Example with the third installment that I'm simply entitling, Serve People. Serve People. We've had a shared memory verse, and it's found in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. It simply says this, a friend loves at all times. I want everybody in the room and out of the room, say out loud, at all times. I looked up that Greek word all many, many years ago. And you know what I found that it meant in both the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Chaldean? That Greek word all, here's what it means. You ready? You're going to want to write this down. It's going to be very profound for you. That word all means this. All. Every time, in every situation, and in every season, when you feel like it and when you don't, a friend loves at all times. They're there to help when trouble comes. This whole series is about getting our entire church family on the same page about how we can grow in our thoughts, our words, and our actions, and how we can demonstrate love and that we truly care. And not just simple earthly love, the supernatural God kind of love. And so Jesus showed us the greatest example. And we best reflect Jesus' love to others when we follow his example, when we act like he does, when we act like he did. And so today I'm going to start in the upper room where Jesus is positioning his disciples and himself for his final moments on earth. They're about to share a meal together. And this is how the conversation goes in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27. Within minutes of gathering in the upper room, they were bickering over who of them would end up the greatest. I just want you to say the word greatest out loud. Just say greatest. This is what they were focused on, greatness. Jesus interrupted him, he intervened, and he says this, kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior, the oldest, the most experienced among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. He goes on and he asks them this question, who would you rather be, the one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? Pause the timeout. Ask yourself that question with an honest response. Who would you rather be, the one who eats the dinner or the one who enjoys being served the dinner? He goes on and he says this, you'd rather be the one who eats and is served, right? But I've taken my place among you as one who serves. Here's simply what Jesus says. Leadership, in Jesus' mind, is servanthood. And the pathway to greatness is to serve. Jesus' disciples were really confused about this back then, and I would submit to you that many of us as disciples are still confused about this today, because the disciples were position conscious. They were trapped in comparison. But Jesus guided them away from that and got them away from horizontal thinking and got them over into vertical thinking. It's Jesus' final moments. They don't necessarily grasp the concept of this, but they're jockeying for position about who's going to sit next to Jesus, who's going to inherit his greatness, who's going to get his mantle to carry on. Right in the middle of it, Jesus says this, I'm going to turn this upside down because all this time I've been with you guys, and you still think this is about positional authority. And he says, it's not about positional authority at all. It's about functional authority. It isn't about titles. It's about serving. And so I want you to look with me in John chapter 13. And I want you to see some things from the text. We're going to read from verse 1 all the way to 13 in four different installments. And I'm going to give you four things that servant leaders do. In other words, when we serve people, this is how and the way Jesus says to do it. And so in John chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, here's what the scripture says. Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Pause. It's very important that you understand this. Jesus knew exactly what was coming. He was in a very difficult situation. And so one of the things that I admire about Jesus is this, that he models for us that servant leaders are motivated by love to serve others. Here's where I find it. The very next verse says this, having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the very end. It was supper time. The devil by now had Jesus, son of Simon the Iscariot, firmly in his grip, all set for betrayal. Pause with me if you would. In his most difficult hour, Jesus places others before himself. He places his betrayer's needs ahead of his own. He said, having loved his dear companions, he just said, having loved them all, including Judas, he continued to love them right to the very end. Listen, if we are going to serve people, we must be motivated by love, even when people are not at their best. Does that mean we don't set up healthy boundaries in certain situations? Absolutely, we should do that. But this is not the first time Jesus faces difficulty. At one of his worst moments, the death of his cousin John the Baptist, the one we call John the Baptist, Jesus responds to the hearing of the news of his cousin's death. He says, hey, listen, it's time that we serve others. And instead of insisting on time away in a time of mourning, he sees the crowd coming to him and he chooses not to focus on his own emotional needs. But watch this. He meets their needs. If we're going to serve people, we're going to have to be motivated by love to serve others, even the ones that we disagree with, don't like, or are disappointed in. Let me share a little example with you. I told you throughout this message I was going to kind of sprinkle and scatter some points that I wanted you to consider. Over the last week or so, we've met as a staff and been discussing what are the needs in our community that we really haven't done a good job of addressing. We have a massive list of those things. So then it becomes the responsibility of those serving to prioritize. And so what I want you to know is this. So last week I talked to you about a deficit in our giving during this COVID season, that our deficit was about $25,000 over the previous year. We didn't go in the red as a church. We managed that properly. But there were some things that we weren't able to do to serve others that we love and that we care about and that we want to reach out to. I'm going to give you an example. And I'm going to set this as a priority and as a goal. For all of us as a church family, I hope to rally around. I have a vision in my heart, and the team and the staff are on board with me about this, that I believe in the next 9 months, we as a church family can band together, rally together, give, and build and renovate this building and create a space already here so that we can have a fully functioning kitchen right here on site. I was kind of expecting folks in the room to say something back to me when I said that. Let me say it one more time and give you a chance, and give you a chance too. We are making it a priority to move forward with a plan to renovate the current existing space and have an incredible, fully functioning kitchen on site at More Life Church for this purpose, so that we can serve the people of our community at the next level. Yesterday, some people began to go and serve those who are homeless. And immediately when you hear the word homeless, you maybe write down what your instant thought is. Perhaps you think, well, they're there because they put themselves there, or they want to be there, or one of those things that maybe are true and maybe aren't. But what if it was Jesus' plan that we not judge how people ended up in their condition, but we just love them and serve them regardless of their condition and situation? What if we did that? Like, what if we did this? Because one of the things that captured my heart as I was being told the story about this is they went down, a team of people went down, and Maria, come closer to me so I can talk to you for a second. Is this something that's going to be a pattern for us on a regular basis? What are we, when are we doing? This is live, ladies and gentlemen, so let's just be live. When are we going to do it?
Saturday.
Every Saturday, what time?
9:30.
9:30 on Saturdays, we're going to meet at the church. Connect. Thank you, Maria. We're connect with Maria on her email, maria@morelifechurch.com. Every Saturday at 9:30, because listen, we need to be consistent. And yesterday, a team of people went out and they had one goal, help clean up. And as they were relating with individuals. And one of the needs came up was that someone needed a tent. And the team said, we're going to get you a tent and we're going to come back. And this is what they did. They got the tent and they went back and gave those individuals the tent. And here's what the individual said. So many people make us promises and no one ever follows through. I want to say something to you that you want to write down. Love follows through. Love follows through. One individual said they needed shoes. And so one on the team said, I'm going to go buy you some shoes. Listen, someone could have said, well, I want to give them the leftovers. Listen, sometimes love is better than leftovers. Sometimes you have the means to do something better than that. And I believe that people who are hurting are served well when we don't give them our leftovers, but we give them our best. Because when we give people our best, we are reminding ourselves that they are created in the image of God. They are created by God with a purpose, for a purpose, and with value. And so people who are servant leaders, they are motivated by a spirit of love. And so this kitchen, it's not about serving only this community of faith. It is about serving the neighborhood around us. We are situated in this location so that we can serve others. I hope you go crazy right now over that idea. Like, because now is we're positioned like we've never been positioned before. Someone says, hey, I want to get involved in that. Great. On screen. In a little bit, they're going to put some ways where you can give. And see, if that would have been done, I would have maybe been able to think outside the box and say, hey, we can do this. But you know what I'm going to say to you? By faith, this kitchen will be completed in Jesus' name for the glory of God by the spring of 21. That's what we're going to do. Number two, let me move on. Number two, servant leaders possess a security that allows them to serve others. In John 13, 3 through 5, Jesus knew the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and was on his way back from God. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, and put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. I'm going to call this section basin leadership. There's only one other time where the scripture mentions a water basin in the New Testament that I'm aware of. One is now when Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet. And the second time is a few chapters later or a bit later when Pilate picks up the water basin to absolve himself of responsibility. There's two basins of servanthood in your life. Two basins of leadership, I should say. One is the refusal of responsibility. One is the acceptance of responsibility. Pilate picked up the basin to put himself first. Jesus picked up the basin to put others first. Servanthood begins with security. You've got to know who you are in Christ. You've got to know the promises of God. And we've done our best to fill you with that knowledge. Years ago, there's a man in our church. He's passed away. His name's Barry Beal. Barry was an incredible man that I miss, and a man that I loved. And Barry didn't necessarily have the greatest abilities on first glance that you might think, but Barry understood the power of serving. And I'll never forget it. It was one winter morning. He said, "Josh, I can't preach like you do. I can't play music like Daniel does. I don't have some technical abilities, but I want to serve. I want to help." I said, "Okay, Barry, that's awesome. What do you have on your mind?" He said, "It'd be all right with you in the wintertime and in the summertime. I just like to go out and start your wife's van for her and the kids after church so they can go into a nice temperatured vehicle." He said, I just want to do that. That's what I want to do." And he said that to me, and he walked away and he did that. And as he did that morning, I literally wept. I literally wept. He would take my wife's car, and he would clean it, and he would put air in the tires during service, and he would put gas in it. Barry was secure. He was secure enough to put other people's needs ahead of his own. He'd call my wife the first lady. He called my kids and my wife the first family. And how many of you know this? When somebody serves your family, somebody loves your family, and somebody loves your kids, it's pretty easy to get along with that person. God has kids. Got a bunch of them. And he asks that we love each other and we serve each other. The third point, servant leaders possess an ability that allows them to be served. In John 13, 6 through 9, here's what it says. When he got to Simon Peter, Jesus getting ready to wash the disciples' feet, Peter said this, "Master, you wash my feet?" "No, that ain't happening." Jesus said, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear enough for you later." Peter persisted, "You're not going to wash my feet, not ever." I kind of like Peter when he's acting this way. And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you can't be part of what I'm doing." "Master," Peter said, "not only my feet then, wash my hands, wash my head, give me a bath." Peter was not opposed to someone washing his feet. He just didn't want Jesus to do it. Positional leadership thinking doesn't allow people to serve you at times. Peter's like, no, I'm the leader of the church. I'm the rock on which you're going to build this thing, Jesus. No. I'm not the one that's supposed to wash the feet. I think they were all, Jesus was waiting for someone to take up the towel, and nobody did. And Peter says, "I can't do that." And his mind's like, "I can't do it." He wanted someone to do it, but he was shocked when the greatest in the room ended up being the one that served. James's like, "I'm one of the three." John said, "Everybody knows that I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. I can't be the one washing people's feet." Andrew's like, "Well, I can't do it. Jesus wouldn't even know Peter, except I introduced them." I want to make this point that receiving can oftentimes be more difficult than serving. That's why we created this resource, Successful Living. On screen are going to be some prompts so that you can be one of the 70. This resource was created to come alongside of you and serve you. And that takes humility to take a resource and implement it and use it. Why? Because some might think, "Well, I should just do this on my own." But listen, my assignment in life is to come alongside and serve you and help you reach your friends, your family, your coworkers, the people in your world. You're working and doing things, and those things are really important because of how our church is so generous. I'm able to have some time freed up so that I can create these things and come alongside and serve you. I hope right now, maybe this is the thing that you're writing down. Maybe you wrote down the kitchen. Maybe you wrote down Barry. Maybe you're writing down, "I want to be one of the 70. The last thing I want to say to you is, servant leaders teach servanthood by example. If we're going to serve people, we've got to model it. In John 13, verses 12 through 17, I'm closing with this. Then he said, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so,
That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life. One of the greatest motivational statements I've ever heard came from a mentor, and he simply said this: people do what people see. If you're going to serve people, you teach this by your example. I had a conversation with my grandma a few days ago, my dad's mom. And I have a rich heritage on both sides of my family of parents and grandparents encouraging me to be a person of faith, to be a Christ follower, by how they modeled and lived the life of example before me. I'm really blessed. In my mind, I'm blessed because of that example. We were having a conversation, and she's talking to me about the idea that she feels as though there's more she should be doing. But energy and time and so on and so forth, her mind kind of robbed her of an opportunity to do all that she wanted to be doing. I said, Grandma, wait a minute. You're forgetting something. She said, what's that? I said, you're forgetting all of the years that you brought me to that little Baptist church on the side of that hill, and they taught me God's word. You're forgetting all of those weekends that you prayed with me, all those days that you prayed for me, all those times that you encouraged me to keep God first in my life. I have this rich heritage on both sides. It's my dad's mom saying this to me. She said, there's so much more that I'm doing. I said, Grandma, why don't you just enjoy the fruit of your labor for right now? Why don't you just pause and remember, because you modeled in front of me and others, we get to run too. It's okay. Let us do it. Let us do it. And she said, Josh, you sure do know how to make a person feel good. And I said, well, I'm glad you feel good, but I was just speaking the truth in love to you, because that's what you did. It reminds me of a scripture, Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4, that says this: don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside. Help someone else get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Jesus says, if you want to save your life, you got to lose it. If you want to be the greatest, you have to serve. If you want to be first, you've got to be last. If you want to be lifted up, you've got to die to self. I'm going to finish with this. A mentor gave me this prayer that was meant for when he was in his 60s. This is how the prayer goes. Lord, as I grow older, I would like to be known as available rather than a hard worker. Compassionate more than competent. Content not driven. Generous instead of rich. Gentle over powerful. A great listener more than a great communicator. Reliable, not famous. Sacrificial instead of successful. Self-controlled rather than exciting. And rather be known as a person who's thoughtful more than gifted. Inside of you lies the unique ability to serve others. If you apply these ideas to your mind, if you take that thing you wrote down and commit it to your heart to action, maybe you say, I'm going to bathe this in prayer during our 30 days of prayer. Maybe your action step right now is you've never become a follower of Christ. And right now, today, you're sensing there's something that's missing. Maybe you'd say, Josh, I don't know where I would spend eternity. I want you to know today, the greatest act in human history was an act of loving service for you, for me. Jesus came to this earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life, something I was incapable of, something you were incapable of. He did it on our behalf. He died, was beaten for you, for me. He was killed. He died. He was buried. And he rose again for you so that you could spend eternity with him in heaven. If you've never done that, or you've never felt confident in that decision, right now on screen is an opportunity for you to say yes to Christ, for you to make heaven your eternal home because of his service to humanity. He came and did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So right now, if you don't know about your relationship with Christ, just click that button and say yes to him.
Thanks again for joining us today. Now take a second and subscribe to our channel. Or you can share this message with someone that you think could use it. And if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Have a blessed day.